So tonight we're in Psalm 131, and before we get to the message of it, let me just ask you to imagine for a moment. You've driven down, or you've taken the train down to Belfast, and you've arrived in, say, Great Victoria Street. As you look around you, you can see tall buildings, hotels, office blocks. As you walk around the city, you begin to see sports stadiums, you see concert halls, you see bank buildings, you see industry and commerce, you see the city hall and government buildings. The tall buildings are a reminder to us that it's a capital city, and there's just so many different things to be seen than what there are to than what there is to those of us who live, say, out here in Bandura. Or turn on the news in the evening time and reporting on the news, there might be, for example, a reporter from Westminster. Then they might switch to a reporter in Washington. Then they might switch to Beijing or Paris or Berlin, wherever. And again, we're transported from simply a country rural area to some great urban centre. And they're discussing social and economic matters, great political matters of state. And because we've tuned in and we're listening, we are compelled to think and to try and grapple with the issues that are being raised for us. And sometimes when we hear these things, they can make us feel angry. Many of us joke sometimes, don't we, about shouting at the television. We sometimes are tempted to shout at the television if we don't actually do it. Or else these things make us feel depressed. We shrug our shoulders and say, well, what can we do about it? And it just seems like world events carry on and you and I have little or no part in them. Tonight, as we come to Psalm 131, you'll see the title of it. It's entitled A Song of Ascents, a Psalm of David. The word ascents means an upward journey. You ascend a mountain, you ascend a hill. And the city of Jerusalem is, of course, built on top of a hill. So to get to the city of Jerusalem, you have to ascend. You have to go up the road up to it. It's up on top of a hill. So this song of David was written by him. He's the king of Israel, but he himself knew what it was to ascend the hill and to go up to the city of Jerusalem as a pilgrim. Going up to the place of worship, to the temple in Jerusalem, David knew what it was to go up to that place to offer sacrifices, to sing the praises of God, to worship God there. What a privilege it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And for those of us who are believers, that picture of going up to the city is a picture for us of heaven, of earth as a spiritual pilgrimage. We are on the journey to the new Jerusalem, and it's a good and a pleasant and an enjoyable journey as we journey on in our faith from the day and hour we came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you have never trusted Christ for salvation, do it right now, and you will begin your spiritual journey of faith towards the Lord. But getting back to David here, David, instead of worrying, remember he's the king coming to the city of Jerusalem, instead of worrying about the budget or about the army and international affairs, instead of worrying about schools and maybe hospitals and jobs and international relations, he strikes a very different tone here. And we'll see in a moment or two how this can really help us. And we learn from David, this spiritual man who is living out his faith in a spiritual way, how you and I can learn about what exactly it means to be a pilgrim on earth today. Notice how he begins, "My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty." David may have been the king of Israel. He may have been the sweet singer of Israel. He may have been the Lord's anointed. But David is humbling himself here before the Lord. He's not full of himself or of his own importance. He's keeping his heart under control. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And this is key to any of us to maintain a composed spirit, to being self-controlled on the inside, to inner harmony and inner balance, that we humble ourselves before God. And we don't get above ourselves, as David is mentioning here in this verse. To illustrate, he uses the example of a child being weaned off milk and onto solid food. When a baby is being fed milk, it seems it's no sooner got its bottle or its breastfeeding that it's just simply wants more. And it seems mother's job is never done, just continually feeding the baby the milk that it craves and that it's crying for. But start the child on solids. Solids don't go straight through the system the way milk does. They take longer to break down. And with solids in the tummy, the child is much more satisfied for longer. There's no longer the same demands on mum. We talk about cutting the apron strings. And the child is able to practice a contentment. It's able to go further away from mum. And there's not the crashing urgency for the next drop of milk. And that example of a weaned child coming off milk and moving on to solid foods is the one that David uses here to show you and I what it is like to face the ongoing challenges of life and to move on in our faith from our initial conversion to Christ. If a child, for example, let's say of 10 years of age, is still on the bottle or still on the breast, we would say, you know, there's something wrong there. Help is required. The child needs to move from milk to meat. Mother, when it happens, is still mother. She's still there. The child still loves her. She still loves the child. The child is still dependent, but it's developing an independence of its own. And it's mother's joy to see her children gaining independence and maturing and moving further and further away from her into young people and growing up. And of course, mother is still mother and she's still there and you can still go back and visit her. But it's a mother's joy to see her children maturing and developing and becoming adults in their own right. And it's a lovely thing as a parent to see children becoming young adults and being responsible within society. And David is using this picture now of a weaned child maturing and developing to talk about what it is to live the life of faith and to trust in your Heavenly Father. You no longer stay as a baby believer, but you become a believer that is mature and deeper, and a baby that is leaving behind baby things. And there is a separation, in a sense, in our faith as we move on, as we develop trust, and we don't feel the same need to be hanging on God, as it were. But we do begin to live the life of faith in a way that is a faith that is deep, that is mature, that is developed, and a faith that is stronger for that, and that is a faith that is pleasing the Lord. And so as David makes his way up to the city of Jerusalem, no doubt with matters of state weighing heavily upon his mind, he stills and quietens his soul as a weaned child. He is now trusting the Lord. He doesn't need day and daily to have a word, Lord, should I get up today? Should I go out and do my job today? No, he's trusting the Lord. He's resting in the Lord. He doesn't allow himself to get anxious. He's not kind of searching his soul day and day, am I really saved or not? He's trusting the Lord now. He's not frantic or fretful, often over things that he has no control. Sometimes things come into our lives and when we're immature in our faith, we say, oh, God has left us. But no, that is not a sign that God has left you. Often it's a sign that God is testing you. God is growing you and developing you and maturing you as a believer. And so David quietens down in his soul and he puts his hope in the Lord, as verse 3 says, because he knows that whatever happens will be for his good. All things work together for good to them that love God. And he's trusting God. He's resting in the Lord like a child that is weaned, and he is looking to God for his life. Spurgeon said that this is one of the shortest psalms to read, but it's one of the longest psalms to learn. And there's a lot of truth in that. It's not easy moving on in your faith, not easy maturing and developing in your faith, but it is necessary that you and I would grow, that we would grow up in our Christian lives. So let me finish with some teaching points from this psalm. First of all, let me say that there are things in life that you and I just can't control, and it's a lot better just letting go of them. Whether it's coronavirus, or the R number that some people live in fear of, or whether it's inflation, or unemployment, or the interest rates, whether it's the state of the church, or the state of your family, or the state of your personal life, or your friends around you. Often these are problems that come to us, but we've got to ask ourselves, can we solve them really? Can we cure them? Can we change them? Often the answer is no. And if we can't do anything about them, we'll let them go. Give them up. Stop trying to control those things, or those things will control you. There's a humility in remembering that in life there are many things that you or I cannot change. But then secondly, remember that God is at work in ways, and often in many ways, that neither you nor I could ever dream about even if we were told. Notice how in verse 1, David calls God the Lord, and the Lord is in capital letters, reminding us that in the original it's the word Jehovah, the great I Am, that is used here, the covenant name of God. Thus God has covenanted to call out a people unto himself, to sanctify a people to be like Christ. And neither you nor I know how God is using our circumstances in order to make us like Christ. You know the way sometimes you go to a beach, a pebbly beach, and the pebbles on the beach are rounded. The jagged edges have been knocked off them, and as the sea has washed up and down the beach over the years and the pebbles have been knocked against each other and the water has been flowing over them, the edges have gone. They're rounded. Those pebbles are smooth, no longer with craggy edges. Who knows how God is using the circumstances in your life, the current circumstances, to make you, to make me like Jesus. I know in my natural state, I was nothing like Jesus. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God uses our friendships, our marriages, our workplaces, our churches. God uses our culture. God uses coronavirus in order to make us like Christ, but only if we're trusting him, if we've quietened and calmed our souls and rested in him for what he is doing in our lives. And the third thing to take away from this psalm is the need to choose humility in daily life as a response to all that is going on. Think of the trouble that is caused in life by those times when we say about someone, he's got up on his high horse. She's got up on her high horse. Think of the heartache and the friction and the broken relationships that are caused by people getting up on their high horses. But humility is so often a game changer in life. Augustine said, pride changes men into demons. Humility changes men into angels. And there is so much truth in that. Think how people try to force things or people try to manipulate things behind the scenes. Pride changes people into demons, but humility changes them into angels. As I conclude, verse 4 says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, once said that the verse in Mark 11, have faith in God, should be translated, hold on to the faithfulness of God. And that's what the psalmist is saying here as he concludes, that in the midst of events large and small, in the midst of trials and tribulations, political and personal troubles, affairs of state and affairs of the heart, hold on to the faithfulness of God. You people of God, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore, because with God, the best is yet to be. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And may it be tonight that you just don't hear this psalm, but you also do this psalm to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.